This show is produced and hosted by Mark Weber. The show is sponsored by G3 Apparel and the Van Heusen Company. The views expressed in the following program are those of the sponsor and not necessarily the opinion of 710 WOR or iHeartMedia. Who is Mark Weber? He's a self-made business executive here to help you find your success. From the New York City projects to the Avenue Montaigne in Paris, his global success story in the luxury world of fashion is inspirational. He's gone from clerk to CEO twice. Mark is classic proof that the American dream is alive and well. Here's your host of Always in Fashion, Mark Weber.
Lot of time to think about what's going on in the world. But of all things, a word caught my attention the other day. I never thought about the word furlough. When I first heard the term, I thought furlong. That's the first thing I thought about. Never heard furlough, particularly in business. Furlong, however, is a measurement in horse racing. A furlong is an eighth of a mile. This race is 6 furlongs, but this is not about racing. A furlough is not a furlong. I was watching the news, and I happened to see the CEO of Marriott being interviewed. He talked about furloughing his employees. I recognized the term, but it seemed out of context in the business world, and it did rub me the wrong way. Marriott furloughing its people? That was new to me. Now, everyone's into furloughing. I recall the interview. The coronavirus was wreaking havoc with the Marriott company. No one was flying. No one was staying in hotels. No one was traveling. Even the bars were empty. And then the lockdown. Hence, the Marriott company would be furloughing a vast majority of its workforce for an extended period of time. What is a furlough in business? I thought, I never heard that one before. But what it meant at this time is just that. I didn't need my workforce at this time. Now that was the key. Because when they reopened, they would. That's what a furlough is. Here's the thing. Is a furlough a reprieve or a nice way of saying, I'm stalling you? I do have the best intentions, but I'm not promising I won't screw you. I'm uncomfortable. I'm not seeing a happy ending in all of this. I don't believe the word has good intentions. In fact, I think it's selfish. I don't think we're being straight with all those people who are furloughed. I don't like being the bearer of bad news, but perhaps those of you out there who've been furloughed, you need to think about it. Perhaps you're not as safe as you thought. Perhaps your job with the best intentions of the management just won't come back. Perhaps you managers know that already and you aren't being honest, fair, or giving the people who are furloughed, your people, a heads up. What is a furlough? I'm curious by nature. I believe curiosity is a prerequisite for success, but I'll come back to that later. I was so curious, I read up on this topic. A furlough is, in fact, basically a temporary leave of absence mandated by the employer. Today, the furlough serves two purposes, as I see it. The most noble, to take the person out of harm's way and allow the employer to shelter at home and protect them against the COVID-19 infections. On the business side, the furlough reduces expenses and costs. Furloughs are often unpaid leave. You're not getting paid, but the idea is that the company reduces their payroll while the business is, for all intents and purposes, on hold, and just that, not doing business. In this regard, that makes sense. It's fair. Companies have to survive. They have to do what's best for them. Now, furloughs might be partially paid. That's rare. Perhaps your health care benefits will be paid by the company for a period of time. Furlough, in the use of the word, indicates you will be hired back. And that's exactly what intrigued me. At the same time, troubles me. See, the furlough is a sneaky word. I see the furlough as a sneaky word. It's not a guarantee of employment. It's not a promise your job will be waiting for you. It does not consider that business will not be business as usual. Nor does it indicate that the company will be in perpetual retreat. Here's my question to you. While the company is determining its future in the new world, how do you know your job won't be permanently eliminated? Humans are involved, and I don't trust humans. Furlough is a word we need to think about and understand. So if nothing else, you who have been furloughed need to have a plan. Are you safe? Do I have a job? What are the chances I'll be rehired? Or what? What have they, the company, said to me? Did you listen closely? Have they treated me well during this period? Have they been in contact with you? Am I active? Have you done anything during this period? Have they sent you any signals? What have they communicated? Am I safe? See, I'm hoping you're okay. I'm trusting that we'll bring you back, but sorry, it doesn't end there. You have some work to do. You have homework and the assignment to listen, learn, inquire about everything associated with the economy in your company. When will your industry reopen? Will the new rules governing your industry affect you? What does the economic impact have on the timetable for my future employment? You have to talk with people in and out of your company. Have they heard anything? Do they have opinions? You must make your own opinion. In the case of hotels, okay, we'll talk about that. I've read that occupancy is down by 80%. I have read that there will be a new virtual approach to the hospitality industry. Perhaps all check-ins will no longer be done at a front desk. You'll be required to pre-check on your mobile phone. The key will be virtual. Therefore, in this case, if you're a front desk employee, perhaps your temporary furlough is not temporary. People are going to have to feel safe on planes, in their rooms, in the restaurants. I just read that Heathrow Airport in London is furloughing, there's that word again, 25,000 employees. But with all this is going on, are they going to bring back 25,000 employees if the business is not as vibrant as it once was? It's troubling. Fear needs to be overcome. Will people get on an airplane? Many will look aside. Many will not. Here's an interesting fact. Baby boomers. 22% is baby boomers. I would have thought more, but no. Yet, 70% of the wealth rests with them. So we have an added economic problem with baby boomers in fear. The point is, if we're talking hotels, it's going to be less occupancy, less air travel, less rental cars. How about fashion? Here's a question. When people are wearing masks and you can't see their faces, are clothes as important? If people are fearful shopping, less buying is going to take place. I read last week the Gap lost $979 million so far due to the COVID-19 virus. No one can sustain that. It's just going to be less out there. And less translates to less jobs. Trust me, I've been talking to a lot of executives, and executives at large companies are making do with fewer people. They're working from home, and they're seeing with all the furloughs, all the layoffs, all the firings, that they're doing their jobs and getting it done. And I just believe the industry is not going to go back and hire all those people there because they don't need them and they've seen it. So what am I saying? Think about this commentary or prediction as a public service announcement. Perhaps it's a wake-up call. Perhaps you've thought it through. But let me help you here. You've been temporarily furloughed. Don't like that word. I don't trust it. Is it temporary? You can't be sure you're going back. And sitting around waiting is a formula for disaster. No one's going to be hiring at the level they've been hiring. It's not an excuse for you to relax. You have to start thinking. You have to start planning. And I start to wonder what the law has to say about this. Hey, Jesse, Jesse Weber, son, co-host, attorney, what's going on? What do you think about the word furlough?
You actually hit it really on the head about what it means, but there's some interesting legal points to it. As you said, it's a temporary leave of absence, but there's really no precise legal definition as to what a furlough is. So let me first say it's very important that companies are clear with their employees what they mean by a furlough. And it's interesting because some will say, oh, we hope to hire you back if this happens, or we hope to hire you back at this time. But as you said, there's absolutely no guarantee that these employees will be hired back. And that's why it's very important for employees to keep their options open and look for work. Having said that, these employees are still technically, legally employees of the company. So they're actually protected. And what do I mean by that?
Even though they're not getting paid.
Even though they're not getting paid, and I will get to that in a second, even though they're not getting paid, they still have some protection. So for example, if the company starts bringing back the workers, they can't bring back workers in a discriminatory way. You know that employees are protected by anti-discrimination laws, so these employees are protected in that sense. Now you talk about the payment. Yes, they're unpaid. However, and this is so important, if during a furlough, an employee does any kind of work, even the most minuscule work for the company, they have to get paid. That is the absolute rule.
Is there a timetable here where they have to let the employee know where they stand?
You know, usually that comes into play before a furlough. Sometimes there are requirements where employers have to provide advance notice if they think that this furlough is going to be going over, you know, something like 6 months. In terms of telling furloughed employees what the current status is, I haven't seen any requirement per se, but employers should provide reasonable notice if a situation changes, usually in writing. And if you're going to fire employees, yes, there are, of course, some legal requirements there on how to do that. But it's also good to give employees some advance notice if the furlough is ending so that the employees can let the employer know what they want to do.
Okay, well, I wanted to talk to you folks out there because a component of this show is career counseling. If it's stalling and you're not getting anywhere and you're just sitting there waiting for that phone call, hey, your job is back, I'm telling you, you're making a mistake and you need to think about it. Wouldn't it be smart? Wouldn't it make sense for the rest of you? You don't know who you're going to be thinking about your options. Maybe there's another company, maybe another industry. At least maybe simply asking your boss for their personal opinion as to your chances about being rehired. This is a career public service announcement. People, think, prepare. You need operational awareness. Now, this is not going to be the entirety of tonight's show. Tonight's show is furloughed, fired, forgotten, and then found. I was fired publicly. I needed to look for a job. I'll take a break. When we come back, I'll tell you my story.
Always in fashion.
This is Mark Weber. Of all things, I'm thinking about fashion, but a very specific part of fashion. I'm working from home like most of you, and I'm wondering, what do I look like when people see me on the screen? I think it's important to still look my best. I believe it's important to still look professional. I'm watching television, so many people around the country, all the reporters, all the commentators, late-night people, everyone's considering how they look. We have an added element when we're in business. You have to feel relaxed. You have to feel, well, frankly, comfortable in your clothes. With that as a backdrop, Van Heusen, my title sponsor, makes the greatest collection of sportswear for men under the Flex Collection. The Flex Collection is designed specifically with you in mind for your comfort. In dress shirts, they put a special elastic in the neck. So no matter how you move, no matter whether you gain weight or not, sorry, you're at home, it still fits you comfortably. You don't feel it pulling. You're happy. Your pants, your shirts have a flex technology in them that moves with you. So no matter what you're doing, sitting, standing for long periods of time when you're working at home, you're going to feel comfortable. And that is a great added benefit of the Van Heusen Flex collection. Now, aside from that, I'm in the fashion business and you want to look right. That's what we think about in fashion. You want to look current and you want to look the best you can be and work with yourself. What do I look good in? What do I look best in? How do I make sure I look professional? Van Heusen's Flex collection represents fashion, comfort, and style appropriate for this period and time and place. Whether it's solid colors, whether it's stripes, it's plaids, whether it's woven shirts or knit shirts, the Flex collection is designed to keep you looking your best. Now, when you're working, nobody's seeing your pants, but you have to wear pants. Wouldn't it be nice if you're wearing pants that stretch with you? The Van Heusen collection provides that. So having said this, you're going to work from home. You still have to look your best. Competition in the workplace didn't disappear with you being at home. Trust me, Van Heusen gets it, and they're doing right by you. Go online, go to JCPenney online, go on vanheusen.com, and you'll see what I'm talking about, the Van Heusen Flex Collection.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
Things on my mind this week, the word furlough got under my skin, rubbed me the wrong way. It led me to thinking about what does furlough mean? And from there I went to furlough, fired, forgotten, but found. I was fired in my career. I was a big time CEO. I wasn't furloughed. I was terminated. I was fired. No reprieve, no chance to discuss. One day I'm a master of the universe, and the next day I'm gone. I didn't get to pack my things. I didn't say goodbye. I'm finished. Walked out the door, humiliated. I'm gone. But that's not the purpose of the story. Because tonight I want to have fun, and I have a great story to tell you. See, I ended up working for LVMH, the great French luxury conglomerate in the United States, as their CEO. I ran a bunch of operations for them. I was responsible for the real estate, human resources, and legal. All of that reported to me, as well as running a number of global companies, the largest of which was the billion-dollar company, Donna Karan. And here's the thing. I'm telling you this story now because it's a fun story, and it's my anniversary, June 15th. June 15th, the year I joined the company, I was asked to go meet Donna Karan on an island in Parrot Cay. Donna Karan had a compound there, and I had a remarkable experience that I think is fun and I'm willing to share with you because this is my anniversary, and it contends with the subject matter tonight. Furloughed, fired, forgotten, and found. So I agreed to go meet Donna Karan. Before I go, I get a call from her secretary, and she said, listen, we have a number of packages we'd like you to bring to Donna. We know you're flying out there and we'll get to her right away. I said, what do they consist of? Well, there are three packages. I said, how large? She said, well, you have to put them in baggage, but they weigh about 25, 30 pounds. I said, I'm not doing it. Secretary gets quiet. She says, what do you mean you're not doing it? I said, listen, I'm going to interview for a CEO job. I'm not FedEx, I'm not UPS, and I'm not Donna's baggage handler. Now, the truth be known, I'm showing up there with carry-on luggage only. My luggage has been sent ahead with my family. I'm going on vacation. I'm going to San Diego. So the answer is no. That aside, I get on the plane, and I fly to Miami. From Miami, you take a puddle jumper to Turks and Caicos, and then you get a boat to go to the island where Donna is staying. I'll never forget. It was a beautiful day in June. The sun was out. I was wearing my Ray-Ban Aviator mirrored sunglasses, white sweater, white cargo pants, white sneakers. I was looking like me. I loved it. And here I am. I get on the boat, and it's a nice boat. Beautiful day. Everyone's inside. I'm on the outside. This is crazy. I'm going to sit in the back of the boat. I'm going to have a great time. And with a matter of seconds, all the water is spraying all over me. I am soaking wet. I'm sitting on the back of the boat. The water's dripping on my sunglasses. I'm all wet, my hair, everything. I'm laughing to myself. Now I know why everyone's inside.
By the way, I bet you thought you looked like James Bond, and then bam, reality hit.
Yeah. Yeah, James Bond and Paradise Island, huh?
This never happens to him.
Well, there I am. I'm soaking wet. Yeah. I get to the dock about 40 minutes later, and who is at the dock in a golf cart? Donna Karen. Hi, Mark. I'm Donna Karen. Hey, Donna, how are you? Blah, blah, blah. She says, listen, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to have your luggage taken to the hotel, and you and I will go to my house, and we'll meet with the president of LVMH. We'll have lunch. Perfect. I said, but can I go back and change myself? I'm all wet. She says, no, we don't have time. We have to do this. So here I am looking like something the cat dragged in. I'm a luxury version of a cat because the clothes, the sneakers, everything look great. But I'm wet and I'm a mess. But okay, I'll deal with it. It's a summer day. I get to her compound. It is extraordinary. She has a infinity pool on the second floor of the compound looking out over the harbor. It is amazing. Every single nook and cranny, every pebble, every stone was perfect. If you ever wondered why these designers, like Donna Karen, become who they are, because they know what they're doing. If I had any question whatsoever about Donna Karen, which I didn't, about her taste level or style, that house changed it right away, made it clear to me that I was amongst fashion royalty. It was truly remarkable. So we get there, I meet the president of LVMH, who of course I knew now because I met them in France, and we had an agreement. And Donna says to me, listen, we've decided we're going to have our meeting in the pool. There might have been a time I had a six-pack and I was trim like that, but, you know, I was 40-something at the time. I'm not that same guy. To go meet in the pool? Oh, my gosh, I wanted to scream. But to make a long story short, I said, listen, Donna, I'm interviewing here to be CEO of your company. I am not meeting in the pool. It's not my time. It's not my nature. I can't do that. And she accepted that, and we ended up having lunch in her compound, an outdoor area to eat. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Teak wood, everything she designed, as I said earlier. Beautiful service. We start to have the meeting. Now, as a backdrop, I knew that Donna Karen had something to say on who be her CEO. I also knew no matter what, she didn't want me. Why? Because she didn't feel that I had a strict regiment of luxury, and she looked at her company as a luxury company, although it was not. She had a company that had a luxury component, and the largest part of her business, which is DKNY, was the world I came from. And I also, having ran Calvin Klein and oversaw it at PVH, I understood Calvin Klein had a luxury component and a large business in the middle. After all, Calvin Klein was the largest purveyor of underwear, jeans, fragrance. So I really, really knew my stuff. But the point is, I was there to interview with Donna Karen to be hired as CEO, and she was there to unhire me. Her goal at the time was to prove to the president of LVMH that I wasn't right for the job. So we sit down, and we start to have lunch. And I already had my strategy. Jess, you like this story?
Yeah, this is a good one. One of my favorite stories of your business career. It doesn't always work like this.
So there we are. We're having lunch. The waiters, the waitresses. It's amazing. It's a really amazing experience for me. If I did nothing else, just the fact to remember that I flew from Paris. I met with the group at LVMH. Now I'm flying to Parrot Cay Island to meet with Donna. From there, I'm going to a golfing vacation for a bunch of weeks in San Diego. Oh, my gosh. Life is perfect. So I sit down, and the first question Donna asks me is, what do you think of my retail stores? So I said, well, Donna, you know, I really didn't spend a lot of time in your stores. I didn't think that would be the focus of our meeting, but I've been in a couple of them, and they looked okay. She says, well, what do you mean you didn't spend time in my stores? You know you were coming to meet me. I said, Donna, I'm coming to meet you to talk to you about being the CEO, not a store manager. I did look at the stores. She got pissed. So she said, well, let me ask you a question. What do you think of the products? I said, listen, Donna, like any other company, you have some extraordinary products and you have some stuff that's nice. But again, I didn't focus on that. I focused on the business opportunities. I decided to talk to a number of people I knew about how your business was working in their stores, Neiman Marcus, Bloomingdale's, Macy's. I wanted to know how the business, and that's what I'd like to talk about. Because I don't understand, Mark. Well, okay, let's talk about luxury. Who do you like in luxury? What retail stores do you like? And I share with her the stores that I admire and the people we like. During the course of this thing, it was getting ugly. She just didn't want me to be her CEO, and she made it very clear by the kinds of questions she asked. She said, well, Mark, what do you bring to the table? Well, I have a wealth of experience, Donna. After all, I've run a multitude of brands over the course of my career. I have a very successful track record. I went from clerk to CEO at PVH, and in the end, I oversaw all the business operations. I was responsible for over 1,000 stores. I had all the wholesale brands reporting into me, Calvin Klein, Izod, the Van Heusen Company, on and on and on, and my track record speaks for itself. I was able to do this, become the CEO, and company stock went through the roof, and we're doing really well, and I'm very proud of that. And I'm very excited to be sitting here. She didn't want to hear any of it. We had the lunch. Lunch ended. And the way it was going to happen is the three of us then were going to meet for dinner. After lunch, president of LVMH took me aside and he said, that didn't go very well. I said, well, listen, you know, the idea here is that Donna does not want me as her CEO. You've told me she wants a luxury CEO. That's not who I am. I have a broad base of business skills and I know how to fix this company because I've done that my entire life. I'm a turnaround guy. I can fix it. She says, well, Mark, I don't know. You have to think about what you're saying to her. Great. And at dinner, she starts in again. Boom! Right out of the box. Mark, I still haven't gotten over the fact that you're coming to meet me. You didn't visit my stores. I said, Donna, okay. Let me share with you what I did do. I went to all your stores in New York City. What I didn't want to say to you is I thought they were a disaster. With all due respect, I sat there and listened to you at lunch about how you have the greatest stores, the greatest merchandising, the greatest merchants, the greatest people, the greatest, 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 greatest. And frankly, your stores look like a dog's lunch. I said they were so shabby. They weren't refreshed. Nothing looked like it should. Yes, you had some good in-store displays, but these stores were tired and they didn't look like the Donna Karan company I knew in 1990. So with all due respect, I just didn't want to say that to you. Now, do I know what needs to be done in those stores to make them exciting? Absolutely. And you asked me about the product. You told me about the product Pure and how, in fact, it was Pure. And that it was its own separate lifestyle within DKNY, and it was segmented, and it had all stood unto itself. And as a company, Pure could be one of the biggest companies in the world outside of DKNY. And yet I walked into your store on Madison Avenue, and Pure was integrated with DKNY. It wasn't freestanding. It wasn't separate. So pretty much, Donna, everything you said to me at lunch was not in reality. It was great words, but the reality was it's not the way you were executing. So I didn't want to say that to you. I didn't want to get in a fight with you. I don't want to come here and tell you you're less than perfect. So if you want to know what happened, that's what happened. I did my due diligence. I know how serious this conversation is, but I have to tell you, it's not right. Now, if you're looking for a CEO who can fix it, I'm your man. I began in design. I'm not you as a designer, but I have an eye. I know what works and doesn't work. I know what can be done with this brand. I was one of your licensees. In dress shirts, neckwear, I knew how important this brand could be and how great it could be. I'm the one to fix this company. And I went on and on and on. I talked about all my skills. The end of the thing, she wasn't having it. Again, I met with the president of LVMH who told me, listen, I'm flying back to Paris tonight. You get one more shot at her for breakfast. Mark, I don't know what your strategy is here. It's not working. I said, look, we have an agreement. You want me to do this for you, I want to come. No matter what I say to Donna Karan, she's going to fight me. She didn't come here to hire me. She came here to unhire me. It's clear. But I will try and meet with her tomorrow and do a better job. So the following day, beautiful day, and we met. And we had an incredible conversation. I said, now that he's not here, you and I, you have a company. It's a great brand. I know your brand. I've been involved in your brand. I'm honored to be sitting here with you. I have nothing but the highest regard for you. If I come for the company, you and I will have the greatest working relationship because I know how to respect people. I know how to treat them, and I know what you're going to want to hear. I can fix this company. And I started to talk about all my experience and all the facets of business, whether it's marketing, design, procurement, warehouse and distribution, information technology. I was well trained. And we went on and on and on through this. Talked about my experience with other brands and what I thought I could do for her and her company. Think of me as a CEO that could work. LVMH is not happy with your company, Lana. They've owned it for 6 years. They've had three CEOs. It hasn't worked. I'm here to fix it. They like me. They want me to come here. Let's do this. And we had a nice dialogue for about an hour and a half, at which time I said, listen, I got to catch a boat. I got to go fly out. I'm meeting my family for vacation. She said, do you really have to go? I said, yes. So I went back to my room, got my stuff. She picked me up in the golf cart, and we're now driving to the boat. And I get in the golf cart, and the first thing she says to me, she said, Mark, you're an incredible guy. I really enjoyed the time we spent together, and now I know what you're all about. You are remarkable. I said, gee, Donna, you just made my day. Going on vacation, I feel great. I'm so excited that you feel that way. We get to the dock, and I'm about to get off the golf cart. She looks at me in the eyes, and she said, Mark, I think you would be perfect for Dior. Dior? I'm here to interview for your company. LVMH owned Dior. I don't even know if they're looking for anyone, but she's telling me I belong with Dior. It was her way of telling me she's not going to approve me. And that's how I got on the boat and headed out. I already had a contract with LVMH. We had a deal. They just wanted me to meet Donna. She had the right to leave if she didn't like the CEO. She didn't have real veto power. But the truth was they didn't want her to leave. And the end result was they had to humor her. They put me on hold, sitting with a contract. And for the next 3 months, they interviewed everyone and anyone she asked to meet. And the end of the period, after publicly stating the day after I left Parrot K, that Donna Karan met with Mark Weber and there's no way in the world she will hire him as the CEO. Can you imagine that? And in the article in Women's Wear Daily, one of the reporters did a number on me and wrote things that weren't nice. That's when they talked about my dress code. They talked about my style, all these rotten things. And they did a number on me, which is an interesting story. If you recall, we were playing golf in San Diego, and my friend called me up and read me the article, and I was crazed. I said to myself, here I am. I'm negotiating with Louis Vuitton, Moët Hennessy. I'm coming on here to be their CEO, and if they're reading this article, I'm reading this, I'm a bad guy. I didn't do anything wrong. And what I did was, is I called the publisher of Women's Wear Daily and the editor, a fellow named Ed Nardoza, who I'd known over the years. Got him on the phone. Hey, Mark, how are you? How are you? I said, Ed, did you get a chance to see the article written about me today in your newspaper, Donna Karan? He got quiet. He said, no. I said, Ed, I'm not telling you whether or not you should tell your reporters how to write, but I've been reading your newspaper for 25 years, and in 25 years I never saw anything written about anyone the way it was written about me. And I'd like to ask you to think about this, because if it's true that I'm going to LVMH, if it's true I'm going to Donna Karan, I think we're going to want to work together. I think if it's true, you're going to want to do an article when the Feynman's announced. I need you to talk to your reporter. And he said to me, in not so many words, but he basically said, Mark, I am not going to comment on whether or not my reporter was fair or not in the way he treated you in that article. But I will promise you that anything else written about you from here on in, I will look at it before it's written and published. I thanked him for that and I moved on, which to me is one of the great lessons in life. You have to fight for yourself. And in this case, I thought I did a good job. I hope everyone out there liked that story. It is my anniversary. Tonight on Always in Fashion, I thought I would cover furloughed, fired, forgotten, and then found. Back in a minute.
Always in Fashion.
This is Mark Weber. We're living in strange times. There's no question about it. We're regrouping. We're rethinking about what our lives look like. We're working from home, and that is a new phenomenon. What has changed
is that we are video conferencing. We're being seen when we're working from home. In the past, we did our jobs when we worked at home. We called in information. We sent emails. Today, we're being watched. We're all there. We're having video conferences, and we're being seen. One of the biggest mistakes you could make is forgetting that you are in a workplace, different workplace, but you are working and you're being seen. Because you're at home, competition in the workplace has not changed. You are competing. You are trying to prove that you are special and you deserve the best that your company has to offer. With this in mind, I think about my friends at Van Heusen, one of the greatest shirt makers in our history, in our life. They've been around for over 150 years. Not only do they make great shirts, it's a given that their quality is exceptional, their fit is perfect, but they look right. When you're sitting in front of your computer and showing your image to your boss, you want to look your best. You are competing for all the great things that life has to offer, even though you're at home. It's important to be with a company you can trust. It's important to be with a company that makes products that know what is right for the times. It'll make you look your best. That is Van Heusen. I spent so many years working for the company. I know their dedication. I know how they look at fashion. I know how they look at style and how important it is. Whether you're wearing a dress shirt with a tie, whether you're wearing a dress shirt open at the neck, or you're wearing an obvious sports shirt, indicating who you are, how serious you are, how professional you are, and it doesn't matter that you're at home. With this in mind, Van Heusen, one of the great shirt makers ever, is here to help you look your best in this unusual time working from home. Van Heusen, great shirt company.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
It's a classic me mistake. Someone gives me love and I throw it all away. Tell me, have I gone insane? Talking to myself, but I don't know what to say. Cause you let go and now I'm holding on. I guess you don't know what you got until it's gone. Sometimes you gotta lose somebody just to find you really love someone.
Thinking about where is the world right now? Where's the government when it came to jobs? It's no one's fault. I think closing the country down was the right thing to do. I think we saved millions of lives. But nonetheless, we're all affected. I'm worried. And we're talking about jobs and firing and furlough. There's no way 42 million jobs are coming back. Not in the near future. Airplanes were packed. Every flight was full. Every hotel was full. Every vacation was full. Everywhere you go, people were traveling. We had money. Listen, to Trump's credit, he revitalized the economy. It was the best economy in the history of the nation. And now we've got to build back 42 million jobs. It's not happening. And everybody needs to know this. Because of the virus, we were 95% lockdown, we're recovering. And 40 million people out of work, they're not getting back. And I start to think about the businesses that would be affected. My first one, let's talk about some of these, was the dry cleaners. I happen to go by the dry cleaners. We have a dry cleaners by where I live, out in the suburbs, that is one of the most successful businesses I've ever seen in my life. Just to get in their parking lot, which is substantial, you often have to wait 5, maybe 10 minutes to just get in the parking lot to drop off your stuff. Empty. Empty. Nobody's wearing clothes. Nobody's dry cleaning clothes. You got anyone you want to go to? Oh, should we go back and forth a bit, Jess?
So I think waiters are going to be just go away with them, because the idea of a waiter coming over to the table and asking your order, totally unnecessary, when you can maybe just order something online at a restaurant. It just seems like an unnecessary risk to have somebody above you breathing next to you to get your order. I don't think that one's going to be necessary anymore, or it's going to be cut a lot.
Wow, that is interesting. You might have a point there on waiters. Now, having said that, I don't believe waiters are going away. You know, some of the Americans particularly. You know what? I would like a chicken salad, but I'd like you to leave the chicken off the salad and replace it with tuna. And you know that...
That's so easy to replace. You do it when I do delivery orders. They say any special instructions. I write in special instructions. That's it. They follow it.
Oh, I didn't know they had that. I didn't know they had that. Oh. Well, I think, listen, they're going to be less waiters. First of all, they're going to be less people. Unless this mutant human population that we have, that you see all congregating, that don't have a fear in the world. See, everybody's behaving because they were in the house for 8 weeks, that they did what they needed to do to get rid of the virus. Problem is, the virus doesn't have a timetable. It's still out there. What else you got?
I got a few. All right, think about this one. You know when you go to a department store and they have the makeup section? You know how they have the cosmetic people putting the makeup directly on your face 2 inches away from you? First of all, thought that was totally unnecessary to begin with. I don't think that's coming back.
Wait a minute. When it comes to women and beauty, I couldn't disagree with you more. Now, I don't know. I think everyone is beautiful. But I do see a difference between when they show celebrities in their natural life versus made-up life, and there's quite a difference. They're not giving up on makeup. The same way they're not giving up on hair color, the way they're not giving up on having their nails done.
But having people put it on you? Having people put it on you in a store, that's necessary?
We're not talking about necessary. We're talking about whether it's going to go away. They'll wear a mask. They may have to refresh their, I guess sharing the place. Mm.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, okay, that's a fair point. Fine. Would you like to hear one that I don't think is coming back? This one grossed me out even before the pandemic. Workout classes like bicycle classes in a closed hot room where everyone is breathing on each other, I think that one is gone.
So you think gyms are not going to come back?
No, I think gyms will come back. People will wear masks. They'll have to wipe it down consistently. I'm talking about these workout classes with these instructors. They all in a hot room together. I don't think that's happening.
Again, I don't agree with you. I have one for you. Cruise ships. Those things were full of infections before COVID-19. You read about cruise ships. Everybody comes back sick, stomachs messed up, etc. You think that's ever going to come back?
I don't want it to come back. I thought that thing was a sailing plague to begin with. Yeah, I think cruise ships is where we heard a lot about the coronavirus. I just don't see that coming back. Having said that, there's so much money in the cruise ship industry that it's bound to come back the same way that amusement parks are bound to come back and have been coming back.
Airline support staff. You think there'll be so many people at the counters anymore?
Look, you're going to need pilots. You're going to need security. You're going to need airline attendants. Yes, but the ticket agents? What's the use there? They're already making it so automated. You just go into a machine, you press what you need, and then you drop your bag off. Those ticket agents, maybe people directing you what line to go on to, unnecessary. Not going to happen anymore. Just less people, less people.
Well, I think, you know, as we talk, that's what really is going to happen. Manufacturing jobs changing, maybe come back in the United States. When you think about all the functions that are already automated, that we forgot about it. You know, I drive to work every day. The toll booths. There used to be toll booths. They aren't anymore. It's all mechanized. You have your easy pass. You don't see anyone. There's going to be a lot of that automation and jobs. More and more jobs will be eliminated that can be. But forgetting for a moment what will disappear completely. There's so many places where it's just not going to come back to the level it was. They're talking about opening up the NBA. No fans. At what point in time can you see those stadiums packed again? What do you think is going to happen with Uber and taxi drivers? Business as usual?
Yeah, because I think if you open the windows and they put partitions between the driver and the passengers, yeah. But then again, is the driver going to be cleaning the back seat between every passenger that comes in? No. There's a risk, but I think that that is going to come back, and I think people are still going to use it as much as they ever have.
So there's acceptable risks that people are willing to take.
Yeah. You talk about unacceptable risks, professional huggers, professional snugglers, which are a real thing. I think that's never coming back. Wait, I have a question for you. So as part of New York City entering its phase one of reopening, they're talking about having retail stores. You can go in and pick up an item. You can't go in and shop. You can't go in and try on. how are retail stores going to change in the sense, are you think they're going to be less sales associates who are picking out clothes for you, going to a dressing room, telling you what dressing room to go into, helping you fit on clothes? I feel like that is going to change a lot.
What a question. Listen, this industry, my industry, is disaster. Nobody should be listening to me right now, but right now, nobody cares about clothes. There's only two occasions for clothes right now. What do you look like in front of your video conference? And how do you hang out in the house? Period. Now, will there be an interest? Look, they open up the city and the office is open. People are going to get dressed. They're going to want to go to work. People have a pent-up demand. Now, what are those stores going to look like? Department stores are already struggling. They're going to find another way to make our lives miserable in order for you to shop there. But that's what's going to happen. They're going to change the rules. They're going to have a certain degree of people and a certain criteria on what's going on in those stores. So it's not going to help business, that's for sure. Not going to help business. We're used to being sociable as people. Think about all the shoe areas in a store. All those chairs lined up, sitting on cots near each other, so to speak, to try on shoes. All of this needs to be rethought, and to credit of the government at the moment, thinking through the rules and how things are going to be done, there are going to be changes in all of this. While you and I don't agree on the cosmetic area, women are going to buy shoes again. They have to try them on. This idea of picking up, yeah, thanks, it's annoying. Then why didn't I just order it online and have it delivered to my house? What do I got to go pick it up for? As much as people hate to shop, or they say they do, as much as people say that they want to only shop online, it's not true. People like going for the experience. They like being out. They like seeing other people. They like a change of venue. They like walking, window shopping. They like doing all these things. They like to shop. It's an activity. And it's not going to go away, but it's going to change. And it's not going to be as pleasant as once was. I would say to you in the end here, I'm going to wrap this up because we don't have the answers and there's too much uncertainty and it's certainly not going to be pleasant. We in the world of business all have brands. Every one of us is our own brand. How you package yourself is as important as any product you package. How you want to look, how you want to behave, how you want to be seen. But take it out of yourself for a second. Think about the brands. Do you want to go into a JCPenney store right now that's bankrupt, is coming back? Or do you want to go into Zara? I've been in Zara. It's always packed. How can it be the same? But how you manage your brand and what you do with it will lead to the future and your credibility. Every industry is going to be more difficult to operate within. But those people that you trust, that you respect the brand, that they respect themselves, are the ones that are going to survive. So there's going to be less customers. There's going to be less jobs. But we've got money in our pockets, and we want to spend it. Jesse, you know what's not going away? Social media. That's going to be here forever. It's changed our lives, and it's going to continue to it.
Yep, that's exactly right. And in fact, that is why now I encourage everyone to visit our Instagram page. So if you go on Instagram, we're at Always in Fashion Radio. That's at Always in Fashion Radio. We're going to post about what the shows are, give you some insights. So we encourage everyone to check it out. It's on Instagram. We just joined. We're entering into a new century, and I like it.
Hey, I'm doing this only for two reasons. One, the station said people are expressing an interest. And two, you're telling me this is worthwhile. What do I know about this Instagram nonsense?
It's just going to be pictures of you. What's not to like?
Hey, then in that case, by all means, everyone tune in.
We're going to post pictures of you in sunglasses, pictures of you on the beach. You're going to love it. It's just going to be the Mark Weber show.
All right. Thanks. All right. I'll be back in a minute.
Always in Fashion.
This is Mark Weber. We're living in strange times. But nonetheless, we all have to get dressed. Interestingly enough, we're dressing differently because we're working at home. And most people want to wear clothes that they're comfortable in. And having said that, I'm very excited to be affiliated with DKNY, both men's and women's, because they have some of the best activewear collections that you've ever seen. Now, this is not a time to be thinking about what's important in business. It's a time to be thinking about a lot of different things. We're all under the gun. We're under attack. But at the same time, we have to live our lives. We have to get up in the morning, brush our teeth, get dressed, feel good about ourselves. I can only tell you that DKNY right now has activewear that looks sensational. Now, the good news is as we dress up casually, we still are working from home. And working from home, you have to believe in the adage, you still have to look your best, particularly when you're having conference calls and video conferences with different people. Nobody's looking at what you're wearing in your pants, but wearing sweatpants from DKNY that are comfortable and look cool, great. More importantly, the tops let you look active, let you look comfortable, let you look fashionable, and you don't have to give up your style. DKNY activewear is incredible, as I say, both for men's and women's. And here's the best news of all. This virus will be behind us soon. We'll be back out there, making an impression, taking care of business, going through the activities of our lives. And on the casual side, whether we go to the gym, whether we go to sporting events, whether we go to our children's sporting events, we have to look the part. DKNY Activewear.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
How can I just let you walk away? Just let you leave without a trace? When I stand here taking every breath with you, ooh, you're the only one who really knew me at all.
It's tough out there. The business climate is impossible. The country, the world is reopening. Can't come fast enough. Can't come fast enough for all of you to get back to work. Politics. President believes in the economy. I presume he thinks the economy coming back will cement his reelection. Did the Democrats want a successful economy before November? I wonder. Fashion, luxury, my world. Spring and summer was lost. It was a time where virtually no one bought clothes, other than activewear for comfort or tops to be seen on video conferencing. Bankruptcy was the word of the hour, the giants disappearing from JCPenney to J. Crew to Neiman Marcus. Looks like they'll be back, but I wonder how. We all have everything we need. Let's face it, our closets are filled with all the suits, all the sweaters, all the shirts, all the scarves, all the dresses, all the handbags, all the shoes we will ever need. Ah, but we're in the want business. We create products. We create dreams. We market those ideas, and we make you want them. Can we do it? Can we do it enough in these times? Can we convince you that you want things that you don't need? That answer is personal. All of us, do you want to go outside? Do you want to play? Do you want to feel safe? Are you working? Our show tonight, furloughed, fired, forgotten, and found. Is there a pathway to happy? Good night.
But to wait for you.